My Lord versus this truth. Brian, would you check the hallway and see if anybody's out there? He's what?
Clerk did try to call counsel. He's from out of town.
Oh. Okay. Just have a seat and we'll try to work this out. Where's he from?
D.C., I think.
Maybe you think, well, no, he'd be here earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's D.C. Oh, Brady, yeah. Oh, Brady.
Unless he's operating left at Eastern time.
Yeah,
that's right.
But the House Counsel is calling Brady. Okay, thank you. You want to go ahead? It's just hear from.
I don't know what you do.
Well, why don't we hear from her and then counsel? Have you had contact with him?
The only comment I had, Your Honor, Mr. Shrimp did respond to the court's automated reminder about the argument this morning. He was asked to respond with our name and the name of the case number. He did respond to that and copied me on that email, and I did receive that early yesterday morning.
And he's in a firm there in D.C.?
I believe he is out of D.C., correct, Your Honor.
I just am curious, is Emily Feinstein, who's of counsel from Madison, did anybody try to contact?
I think the only person that they tried to get in touch with
was him, sure.
Yeah.
Was she involved in the case initially?
Not at all. I believe that Emily was involved, I think, much earlier at the administrative level, yes. And then he used local counsel. I don't quite understand why, but he didn't file a brief using local counsel. Mm. I don't believe they were
okay. All right.
Well, maybe we'll just take it on.
The government concedes that it should be remanded. The real question is whether benefits would be awarded rather than demanding it.
Well, counsel, I'll let you make your argument, and then depending on whatever excuse might come forward, we'll see what we do at that point.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Danielle Pedersen on behalf of the Commissioner of Social Security. The posture of this case is slightly different than the normal Social Security case before this Court. The District Court did remand this case for further proceedings rather than affirming it. So there is a remand, and that is the decision we're asking that this Court uphold. Mr. Allard dedicates the majority of his argument in the brief to challenging the ALJ's decision and some of the ALJ's finding and reasoning. But let's be clear that the defendant concedes in this case that the ALJ's decision is not supported by substantial evidence. We are not arguing that decision should be affirmed. Rather, the only issue before the Court is whether the record in this case compels a finding that Mr. Allard was disabled as of December 1992, which was when his insured status expired, such that this Court should order a judicial award of benefits rather than remanding. And I want to highlight, I think it's very important to note, that three times now the courts, including a panel of this court, and Judge Kaney, I believe you were on that panel in August 2006, have failed to find that this record compels an award of benefits.
The only problem is when it went back to the ALJ, his finding didn't comport with what we had indicated we found with regard to the first ALJ.
And that is what the district court found, Your Honor. That is absolutely correct. The ALJ in the second decision does appear to have made some of the same errors that were this court was concerned with in the first place, and that is unfortunate. That is why a remand has been ordered by the district court, and we concede that that remand is necessary. However, this court, when it declined to award benefits in 2006, noted that the medical evidence upon which Mr. Allard relies to show his disability contained infirmities. And this is the same record that you have before you today that this court had before it in August of 2006. Those infirmities have not been cured. There are inconsistencies in this record, sufficient inconsistencies, to warrant a remand for further proceedings rather than an outright award of benefits. This court did say in Campbell it would only award benefits where the record could yield but one supportable conclusion. And again, three times the courts, including this court, have found that that is not the case. There is conflicting evidence. We do have two physicians in this case, Drs. Shea and Metsakis, who have rendered opinions of disability, and those are retrospective opinions. They were rendered in 1997, approximately 5 years after Mr. Allard's insured status expired. This court and the other courts have noted, however, as have the ALJs, despite making some errors, have noted that there's other evidence that conflicts with these retrospective opinions that Mr. Allard was completely disabled by post-traumatic stress disorder dating all the way back to 1987 when he retired from the military.
So the VA also made a finding that he was totally disabled.
The VA found him totally disabled in 1997, yes. And the ALJ did mention that outcome and did discuss that it's entitled to some weight, but did find that because it so greatly postdated the date last insured in this case, it was not particularly compelling. The ALJ also noted, as did the district court, that it's a slightly different standard that the VA uses than the one Social Security uses. So it's not the same standard of disability.
It's very slight in terms of the difference, isn't it?
It's not particularly slight.
Discuss that further.
Well, the VA's standard of disability, and I'm not entirely familiar, I don't work for the VA, and I'm not entirely familiar with their standard, but having looked at their decision in the record, they make a finding. It's very important that they find that the impairment is medically connected to the soldier's service. And obviously a post-traumatic stress disorder, nobody here debates that Mr. Allard has that impairment and that it does relate back to his very commendable combat service in Vietnam. That is a primary factor for the VA. And the VA does not have that fifth component that we have, that they can do the inability to do any substantial work. The VA focuses more on whether they're able to continue full-time as a serviceman and do their job as a serviceman. It's really more akin to the Social Security Step 4 decision, where we decide if the person can return to his past relevant work. Mr. Allard was a major. His rank was major. He was directing a lot of officers. He had only held skilled jobs. His two businesses that he ran after his retirement were very skilled work. We're not claiming that he could return to that work. The jobs that were ultimately found appropriate were unskilled jobs of a very limited nature in terms of social interaction, and that was the primary problems he was having as a result of his post-traumatic stress disorder were social. But again, Mr. Allard, after he retired from the military, and again, he said he retired because he didn't want to be transferred overseas, not because he was having problems. There are no military medical records in this file to demonstrate that he was having any difficulties in the military. He was promoted twice after returning.
Of course, that's not unusual with PTSD, is it? Structure of military seems to...
Absolutely, Your Honor. There is evidence that he did struggle when he moved to civilian life, but he also did conduct all of the activities of two personal businesses. They were not financially successful, and he indicated in his testimony he wasn't able to get enough business to make them financially successful.
And it is accepted now that PTSD is a progressive disease.
Absolutely, Your Honor, which again speaks to the fact that these two doctors, while they are experts in post-traumatic stress disorder, and we don't deny that, neither of them even saw Mr. Allard during the relevant time, and neither of them rendered these disability opinions till 1997, and that's not a couple months.
But what's so key to this case is this Ms. Chappelle White's testimony, and she gives specific incidents that would corroborate Dr. Metaskis' diagnosis as having the PTSD in active form prior to the last insured date.
Again, no one's debating that the post-traumatic stress disorder was in effect and likely before he even retired from the military. The question is whether it was as severely disabling as Drs. Shea and Metaskis say they were. They gave him GAF scores of 15 and 20. These are indicative of a person who is not functioning at all.
And Ms. Chappelle White's testimony would suggest that his functioning, he was not functioning within the insured period, if the ALJ would just address the credibility question. We tried and tried to get the ALJ to do that.
The ALJ, in this case, again, gave reasons for finding not credible Ms. Chappelle White's statements that have already been rejected by this court. There are other reasons that the ALJ could rely on to find Ms. Chappelle White's testimony either not credible or not supportive of a finding of total disability. And again, Ms. Chappelle White's testimony, if you read it carefully, she indicates that he wasn't really working at all as of 1990. Now, Mr. Allard says he was working 15 to 20 hours a week running his own business through 1991. So her testimony is inconsistent with Mr. Allard's own statements. Also, she does indicate he was very argumentative with clients. That's the primary concern she expressed. She overheard him on the phone.
Startled by events and reacting.
Correct. He was easily startled by loud noises and some things of that nature. There's no doubt that Ms. Chappelle White's statements do demonstrate that there were post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms manifesting. I imagine they had to have been, as Dr. Metaskis has said, manifesting before he retired from being a full-time military major. The question, though, is one of credibility, and that this court has said it will leave to the finder of fact, which is the ALJ. Again, it is unfortunate that the ALJ did not go beyond the reasons that had already been addressed as concerning by this court. But there are other reasons the ALJ could find to reject Ms. Chappelle White's testimony or to find that it simply isn't supportive of a finding of disability. And that is a question of fact for the ALJ. This court would have to make factual determination it has declined to make in the past to award benefits in this case. Again, the evidence in this case is in conflict. There is evidence in support of Mr. Allard. There's evidence that contradicts that as well. And because that evidence is in dispute and because there still exist these infirmities and inconsistencies in the medical evidence, and because the issues that remain to be resolved are those best left to the ALJ, as this court has said, we believe that a remand for further proceedings would be appropriate in this case rather than...
So then, most likely, he's looking at another 2 years before there's any decision. When you look at when this odyssey began in 97, we're probably talking about, 2011, before he gets anything?
That is true, Your Honor. This case has had a very long procedural history, and that is very unfortunate. We did receive an affirmance from the district court in 2005, which was then overturned by this court. There have been many reasons why this case has lingered. You'll notice that Mr. Allard and his attorney have requested multiple extensions of time as well. I'm not saying that the agency, you know, shouldn't move these cases along faster, and because of the backlog, it's unfortunate that we cannot. Mr. Allard and his counsel have also requested numerous extensions of time, and this case has unfortunately lingered. This court has been very clear, though, that that is not a sufficient basis on which to award disability benefits. It is unfortunate that this will take more time for the ALJ to issue a decision that is in compliance with the court's wishes. But nonetheless, where the record does not compel an award of benefits, this court has indicated that it will remand for further proceedings.
And at this point, though, in terms of his status, is the government contesting that he's suffering from post-traumatic stress?
The government has never contested. The ALJ found this ALJ
right.
during
I'm
the relevant period.
Nothing has changed. I mean, over the years, up to change the conclusion that he's suffering from post-traumatic stress.
No one's debating the diagnosis. Certainly, Your Honor, it's more a matter of when that or if that became disabling, and if it did, when. And again, with the evidence being inconsistent, we feel that a remand rather than award of benefits is the most appropriate outcome in this case, and we would ask you to affirm the district court.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
The court will take the case under advisement and will also order Mr. Shirk to show cause why he failed to appear for oral argument.